We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. And we're very, very pissed off. Yeah.
You're saying, why has it been so long? Well, it's because I haven't had a lot of time, not a lot's been going on, and I just straight up forgot. So, all right, well, now we're getting back into it. Things did happen. Mostly what happened was we went to Disneyland, hence the name of the title of the episode. What also happened, and I want to get the sad stuff over early, which is the fact that the musical guest this week is Jill Sobule, and a couple of days ago, she died in a house fire. And if you don't remember Jill Sobule, you know, she had that big hit with I Kissed a Girl long before Katy Perry did, which is, of course, what all the news outlets are saying. I am a huge Jill Sobule fan. This is an album that is absolutely perfect. And it's weird and funky, but also very approachable. It's got crazy instrumentation. You know, you'll get clarinets and accordions and banjos in the songs, but it's not weird for the sake of being weird. It's just this is what they thought would help the song, and it totally does. And I also really love the lyrics. The lyrics are a lot about, I wish my life was better or different or more interesting, and it's not. And I'm stuck in this reality, which you can say, like, well, but she was a rock star and, you know, she got a record deal and all of that. But life was not easy for Jill. You know, she was bisexual. You know, she did I Kissed a Girl and it was a hit. But I don't know if necessarily she felt comfortable coming out and being different and, you know, in 92, 93, whatever, when this album came out, she started just recently. Oh, this is the other part that really sucks is, you know, I followed her on Instagram and Facebook and all of that, and she always had something going on. Like, even though she was 66 when she passed away, she was out there hustling. She was touring. She just was opening for The Fix, you know, Red Skies at Night, you know, The Fix, right? Although kind of an odd double bill, she had a song that was anti J.D. Vance and like that pissed off all the Republicans, but she was moving. She was doing stuff. She'd written a play called Fuck Seventh Grade, about how hard seventh grade is. I mean, it was just, she was doing stuff. She had so much left to do, but also, you know, she never hit it big, right? She had one song. You can't retire off of one song. So, and it wasn't even that big of a hit. Yes, she did get another song in the Clueless soundtrack. But, you know, that will only take you so far. So, and then she reported that the last time she was playing in Los Angeles, somebody stole some of her gear. And then that was like, you know, yeah, she was like, yeah, I reported it to the LAPD, but they're not going to do anything. So she had to buy all her stuff again. And it's just like, it was never easy for her. And, you know, I think the way she died kind of, you know, symbolized that, right? She was just staying at some friend's house and there was a fire and that was that. She also has a bunch of songs kind of like this, where it's like, wondering about people. So like there's this song, Margaret, there's Karen by Night, where she imagines this person having this crazy, fantastical life outside of work. I was always trying to break into show business, as we all know. And she has a song off of her second album called, it's actually her third album. That first album sucks. It is, so Todd Rundgren is the producer of that first album. And I actually interviewed Jill on my, defunct website, ugtv.org. And I asked her about it, and she was, she was nice. She was diplomatic about it, but she was just like, I was new. He didn't know what to do with me. It just all kind of sucked. And this is what we got. So thank goodness the second album, the record label didn't drop her. God knows, I'm surprised they didn't. But and then she got a producer that got her and knew how to work with her and understood, how to get all these other instruments involved and everything. And So Jill, I'm sorry the world never understood your brilliance. Oh, but there were some celebrities who did, like Cyndi Lauper posted something very nice. Margaret Cho, of all people, posted something very nice. Some people got it. I just, I always want more, right? I always, these movies or these artists or whatever that aren't the biggest thing in the world, I'm always mad because more people don't know about them. And then like fucking Fast and the Furious makes $1 billion, which is just straight up garbage. And people are like just so into it. And I'm just like, no, this is trash. This is bad movie night, right? That's why you watch the Fast and the Furious, is if you want to laugh at something that sucks. You don't go unironically and have it make $1 billion. Just got a message on Facebook Messenger. I got to figure out how to unsubscribe from her. Well, let me go do that. They're ugly heads. Our love is distant. There's no commitment. So, what have I been up to? Okay, so Disneyland. Let's talk about that. Disneyland is branded as the happiest place on earth, but I gotta admit, most people seem miserable, right? Like, the people who seemed happiest are the childless adults who love Disneyland, because so many times I saw kids screaming and crying, parents sitting them down. You need to get your attitude together, young person. Blah, blah, blah. We'll turn this vacation right around. There was one guy I saw. He was talking. Oh, we were in line for the Cars ride. And he was talking to another dad. And he started the conversation with, yeah, well, we got in Monday, and this one, and he points to one of his three kids. Oh, that's the other thing. Fucking everybody has, like, a dozen kids. I don't understand how they can afford to go to Disneyland, because Disneyland's an insane amount of money, and they don't give you a volume discount, right? It's not like you have, you got eight kids? Well, that will cut the price. No! It's the same price for everybody. And it's a lot. And I don't know how people afford to do this, because I see these people. They're not, Rockefellers. They're people who are barely scraping by. And then not only is it the ticket price, but all the food and drinks and souvenirs and everything. I mean, it's enough to break your bank. You got so many goddamn kids. And why do you need so many kids? Isn't one enough? Okay, how about two? Stop at two. How about that? So this guy in line at the Cars ride is, he points to his kid and he's like, well, this one wasn't in the Disney spirit. And so I just said, why don't we just hang out by the pool today? And they spent an entire day of not going to Disneyland, even though they had paid for the tickets. Who knows? Maybe, you know what? Maybe they bought the season pass or something. So to him, it's like, who cares? Because it's already been paid for, and whether we go or not, no big deal. That was crazy. I saw a guy with strollers, and they had three kids in the stroller, and he was, I don't know, maybe 20 feet outside the hotel, and he was alone. I don't know where his wife was or his husband or whatever, but this is the cruelty, right? You're asking any person with three kids under the age of 10 to manage them at Disneyland? Are you fucking insane? He will go on a killing spree before the end of the day. So anyway, he's 20 feet outside the hotel and he's like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this today. I am not doing this. We can just go back right into the hotel right now. And it was funny because what triggered him, what sent him into oblivion was the daughter was already planning for tomorrow. She, like, the dad had already laid down the ground rules about, I don't know what, it was before I got there, probably souvenirs or something, or maybe it was the rides they were gonna ride, but then the girl starts in on tomorrow, and something in his brain didn't hear tomorrow. He just was still stuck on today. And then she's like, well, you know what I want to do? What I want to do? And that pushed him over. That was like, I did kind of want to insert myself and go, buddy, she's talking about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. So eventually he figured it out without my manual intervention. But boy, it was ugly. Yeah, Disneyland sucks. Now, I have to say, I enjoyed, you know, Disneyland a lot more this time and the time before. Because the kid is older, there's no limitations on rides, and I kind of just know what to expect, right? But this time was a little bit different because for some reason, Miriam, said that we would take Rick and Tola's daughter, Rachel, with us to Disneyland. Now, I'm assuming she offered because Disneyland is very expensive and Rick and Tola don't have a ton of money, and so maybe she was like, well, we'll treat her to Disneyland and that'll be, you know, that's what we'll do. And so we did that, and Rachel is super easy. But then the other new problem is that our kid is in a very moody phase, and, you know, she just started getting her period, and the PMS hits her like a Mack truck, and she is very used to being the only child. And when other, you know, she always says, oh, I want a brother, I want a sister. Bullshit, you do. Anybody else gets an attention, anybody else gets to weigh in on what they want to do at Disneyland, it fucking sends you into a funk. So let's not pretend you'd be super cool with having a sibling. So I've noticed there's definitely some weird archetypes of people around Disneyland, the parents, I mean. Like, there was one guy in line at the rides who clearly looked ex-military, right? Like, he was super jacked, massive tattoos, and when he would stand in line, he would put his hands behind his back and kind of stand almost at attention, but with his feet spread. And it was It looked like a man who was used to standing in line. It was a man who was used to marching in place. You know, he is used to this. Physically, he can endure. Mentally, he has found a way to just completely check out and just be done with it. You know, it's like, oh, we're standing in line again. All right, go into standing line mode now. So... he is a rarity, right? Like, you don't see a lot of that guy. The guy you see, though, all the time is the dad with the 100-yard stare. The guy who is just, like, he's not mad. He's drained. He is just sitting at some overpriced eatery. And I think all of it is hitting him. Like, he's just physically exhausted. He is emotionally exhausted. His wallet is exhausted. Like, he's kind of upset that of how much money this is costing. And it's not even that he would have done anything with the money anyway. It's not like he was like, oh, I was gonna buy a sports car, but instead we came to Disneyland. He's just looking around at, like, oh my God, there's so much money. And the kid's not even gonna finish that. I just spent $23 on a corn dog and that kid's not gonna finish it. Oh my God. Oh my God. And speaking of the food, everything's fried, right? Like, trying to find, although I have to say, we ate an Italian place. I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's in this strip called Downtown Disney. Now this, this is bananas that they would even dare to call it that. But basically what quote unquote Downtown Disney is it is a stretch of about, I don't know, a quarter of a mile. That's just nothing but shops. Most of them Disney shops. But there's, you know, other places. There's places to eat, and there's, you know, Wetzel's Pretzels. And, we did overhear a funny thing. Somebody said, you know, the only place I like to eat Wetzel's Pretzels is at Walmart. And that's all we heard. We just kept walking, and I was just like, really? Is there something special about a Walmart Wetzel's Pretzels? Or are you just like... so fed up with Walmart, you're like, oh, I gotta get me a pretzel so I can carbo load and power my way through this, you know, acre of shopping. Oh, here comes the big hit, I Kissed a Girl.
Jenny came over and told me about Fred. He's such a hairy behemoth, she said.
Oh, one other fun thing to note about this song is if you watch the music video for it, the character of Fred that she mentions at the beginning of the song is played by none other than Fabio. So he's great. And he's, dude, that guy is super tall in real life. And I saw an interview with her where the two of them are standing side by side. And I've seen Jill live and she's, you know, not tall, but either she's, I'm sure he's over 6 feet tall, and I'm sure she's barely 5 feet tall, and then the two of them next to each other is laughable. But anyway, that's another fun thing about this, I guess. Oh, anyway, Disneyland. So, Downtown Disney. So, Downtown Disney, so we did something different this time, as opposed to the other times we've been to Disney. We spent the extra money to... stay at a hotel that is one of the quote-unquote Disney hotels, and it's so much better than being in a hotel that's off the strip, so to speak, because the commute between the two just takes forever. And we used to take a bus in, and then that was a whole deal. And then I figured out that you can bypass Downtown Disney by taking the monorail. Yes, that's right, the Disney monorail. Everybody say it with me now, monorail. Yeah, that's right. What you say, monorail. That's right, a bona fide something or other, dooba dooba booba, the monorail. Thank you, Simpsons, for just forever infecting my brain with the word monorail. Now, as much as I shit on Disney, there are some rides that just blow me away. Good God. I love the Cars ride, and I think what I like about it is, unlike all the other roller coasters, you feel like you're in a car, and so the movements that it makes, it feels like you're just in a car going, you know, really fast. Of course, you're not going really fast. It just feels like it because there's no, you know, windshield in front of your face, so you just rip through it. Oh, so fun. And I think also with that ride, it's interesting because it's deceptive how good it's going to be, because the beginning of the ride is really dumb. It's just, you know, I've never seen any of the Cars movies. I don't care about Cars, but when, you know, the ride starts, it's like, well, here's this character and here's that character. And then it's like, okay, now it's time to race. And then you're like, oh, all right. And then the light, you know, the lights count down, red, yellow, green. And then that thing just takes off. Oh my God, it's so much fun.
Sitting in my apple tree, swaying as the branches tremble under me. The chicken's up, it's all been played.
I wonder what that instrument is, that bass instrument that goes boom, boom. It's like a bass clarinet or a bass saxophone or something. I love it. It's definitely not a bass guitar. I know that for sure. But the ride that just is the best times a million is Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. That, I mean, look, I've got such a boner for Star Wars. Like, I'll watch anything Star Wars. No, not anything, but I watch almost all the Star Warses. I love it so much. They do that. I mean, I talked about it last time in the Disneyland episode, but there is, you know, you get off this shuttle and you walk out into what looks like the loading bay of Star Destroyer, and you're like, good God, how did they do this? This is, I mean, you really feel like you're there. But speaking of Star Wars, not to end it on a sour note, but they have redone, what is that? Space Mountain. So a few years ago when they did Space Mountain, they were like, yeah, like these, you know, like plaster of Paris planets that they have strewn around the ride, like look like a child's, you know, version of what the solar system looks like. These are kind of ass. So they got rid of those. And then they put up a lot of projections and screens and whatnot. And they made it look better. And then the most recent time that we went, they have just completely overhauled it, and now the whole ride is supposed to be Star Wars, right? And you get in the roller coaster, and then the music starts, da 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 da, and I swear I almost got a boner. Just like, oh, I love that whole thing so much. And what sucks about the ride, though, is, now, mind you, they can't just totally rip apart the ride, right? So all the changes that they made to make it, you know, quote unquote, Star Wars-y were cosmetic, right? They weren't moving the track around, you know, they weren't changing the shape or the dimension of the space, because it's an inside ride, you know, so there's only so much you can do. But the first thing that you do is you go to warp speed. Now, I get it. You know, you're limited, and going to warp speed from a storytelling sense makes sense. It works because, you know, that's the first thing you do in Star Wars. So, but what I want is, I want the ride to start, and then it's like, we're going to warp speed, and I want that warp speed feeling. Like, that's where I want the ride to really start moving. I get that when you go to warp speed in the show or the movies, people don't feel the speed of it, because to them they're just more or less standing still. But I want that, like when the lights streak back behind you and you know, I want that feeling of speed, of like, ah, we're going to light speed, bam! And so it doesn't do that. And I'm just like, nah, all right, I get it. You know, it's okay. Here's another great song about her sort of idea about how, you know, I wish our lives were more interesting, but they aren't.
In my real life, I'm a cocktail waitress dodging men's hands. Instead of bullets, and you're a bass player in a band that got a deal, dealing with assholes instead of explosives.
So, I forgot to mention the fact that when we drove down to Disneyland, we stayed at the Madonna Inn. And the Madonna Inn is in San Luis Obispo. It's mostly where people stay who are visiting Hearst Castle. It's really on the edge of San Luis Obispo, so there's not a ton of other things around there. So I think at this point, people stay there because it's weird, right? And the whole deal with the Madonna Inn is, every room is unique and different, and there's, you know, the most popular one is the caveman room, because the whole room looks like, you know, you're inside a cave or whatever. And I'm sure I talked about this on the previous episode, because we stayed there then too. The big difference, though, between this time and the previous time was, this time when we got into the Madonna Inn, it was like a Saturday, I think, and then we stayed the night Sunday, and then we took off the next day. Saturday, there had been a wedding at the Madonna Inn, and when we get there, we are now in the throes of the reception, and people were partying in the evening, and it was noisy. And I finally, at like 10:30 or 10, I'm like, okay, look, we've been driving all goddamn day. I want to get to sleep. I didn't want to make the call from our room and say, you know, because there's other people in the room trying to sleep too. So I was like, you know what? I'll just go down to the reception and just talk to them in person. And oh my God. And so I'm walking down the hill, and I am seeing all the wedding stuff like still going on. Like at one part of the hotel, they have like kind of a nightclub almost, and there's a stage in one end. There's a full-on 10-piece brass band going, playing swing tunes. People are dancing, and I'm like, okay. And then I walk down a little further, and then there's another party going, and they're all singing karaoke, but everybody's singing along, and it's like, all right. And I'm just like, why aren't the people who are directly above us, why aren't they at one of these parties? You want a party? Don't party in your room, party in one of these parties. That's what they're here for, is to party. Stay, get the hell away from us. So I get down to the receptionist, and I'm like, hey man, there's a party going on up above us, and we'd like it if they like knocked it off. And I said, I'm not exactly sure which one it is. You know, we're in this room, and there's other people up there. And I said, and there's a guy who thought it would be a real great idea to bring his ukulele. And I don't know why this guy would do this. He's not practicing for anything because his ukulele skills are ding a 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 ding, right? Two chords. That's it. And then he would stop. He would play for, it was like, you know, the sort of water torture where they like drip water on your forehead, and the problem is you just don't know when the next drop is coming. Like, if he just played continuously, I think I might have been able to tune it out, but it was just ding a 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 ding, and then nothing. And then, you know, people are talking and whatever for like 5 minutes. Ding a ding a ding a ding. And it's just like, really, dude? Like, is anybody enjoying this? Isn't there anybody in your room that's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Play a song at least. Branch out. I don't know, dude. Pick a third chord. You know, really live it up, dude. So I complained, and the guy told the security guard. The security guard takes his little golf cart, goes up the hill, and when I'm walking up the hill because I don't want to be associated with security as the guy who complained, and I see the security guard leave. I go in a room and I'm like, it is absolutely no quieter. I don't know if he said anything and they went, yes, we'll be quiet, and then he left and then they just started up again, or he just had no idea where the sound was coming from. And I get it, because I couldn't tell. From being in the parking lot, I couldn't tell where the sound was coming from. And then, oh, the other really weird-ass part of this was as I was walking back towards the room, I passed by the big brass band playing again, and there's this little table of people all dressed in, like, Holly Hobby bonnets. You know, like those, like, you know, Amish Mennonite looking bonnets and like the big poofy dresses. And they are just rocking out to this 10-piece band like crazy. But they're not dancing. They're sitting in their chairs, but they're kind of violently swaying back and forth. And I'm like, okay, are you really Mennonites and like you're not allowed to dance? Or were you part of some other like Dutch celebration and this is like you're a part of a clogging troupe or something, and then this is just you didn't take the costumes off at the end of the night? I don't know. It was very strange. The whole thing felt very David Lynch. And it's true because like the Madonna Inn already feels very David Lynchian, right? It's already a notch weird. And then you get, you know, and now it's like 10 o'clock at night. I can't sleep. I'm confused. I'm walking around and all these bizarre people are doing their things, and it just kicked it up a notch. So the way I managed to fall asleep is I had brought my noise canceling headphones. The noise cancellation properties have many settings. I just cranked it up full and it blocked out everything. It blocked out the people playing ukulele, the people talking, everything, and I fell asleep instantly. All right, well, I thought this would be a nice song to end on because it's called Now That I Don't Have You. And I'm sure originally it was meant as a love song, but I give it some double meaning as now that we don't have Jill anymore. So I'm going to come back after this song is over, but I'll let you bask in the glow and the glory of the amazing Jill Sobule one last time.
Now that I don't have you, maybe someday
well, now we're gonna go into an up-tempo song after a goddamn death dedication, as Casey Kasem would say. Well, from me, from the music of Bright Brown and the eternal Jill Sobule. If I remember, we'll do this one more time.